Dispatch, pockets of fire all around.
Dear Chief, much has happened since we last spoke. Welcome to Dear Chief Podcast, where your hosts and their guests share the 411 of being married to the people who respond to 911s. Take a peek into fire family life and get unabashed advice on how to prevent forest fires in your marriage. Now, here's your hosts, two seasoned fire wives, Audra and Chelsea.
We've been talking a lot about how cancer is the number one killer of firefighters in their gear, on their calls they run. It's everywhere. When your firefighter or first responder goes in for their annual checkup, which we hope yours are doing, if everything looks good on the surface, most doctors write them off as a clean bill of health and move on. There's no preventative care other than a quick check. Catching cancer before it happens is a priority for Prenuvo. Dr. Seffi graduated from Brown's Medical School and has since spent time at Stanford, ADOC, and now Prenuvo.
And he's here to talk to us today about what Prenuvo is. So welcome, Dr. Seffi.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you. Happy to talk to you today about Prenuvo, which the way I would maybe most simply characterize it, it's a rather innovative radiology practice, which you can almost think of as radiology as primary care service, which doesn't really exist. It's not a field that really exists other than what we're establishing here. And we take advantage of MRI, which is an imaging modality, which does not carry any ionizing radiation. And it can image all kinds of aspects of the body and characterize different features of tissues with a high level of detail that doesn't require any injection of a dye, which is kind of unique in MRI. It doesn't mean to say that you don't ever want this dye, what we call contrast in MRI, but for the most part in the screening setting in our practice, we find it's not really necessary to kind of get a good first look and characterize all kinds of lesions, as we call them, lesions or processes that could be within the spectrum of normal. So we take advantage of these features of MRI and we apply them in a whole body examination approach. So we scan from essentially top of the head to the ankles and we get pictures of all the body parts in that field of view. And in a way, the reason why I call it like primary care radiology is that the same way you might go for your periodic health examination with your primary care doctor and they'll ask you some questions and listen to your heart and lungs with a stethoscope. So the way I think about it is I'm using the MRI machine as my instrument of physical exam and doing a much more deeper dive evaluation of your body below the skin. So that's what we do. And through this approach, we're able to assess for all kinds of disease processes that could be brewing below the skin that may still not result in a symptomatic state, but we can be alerted to them and potentially either monitor them with a higher level of attention or have a chance to prophylactically intervene on them. And things that come to mind, kind of like the low-hanging fruit, is, as you guys mentioned, a cancer screening. So, you know, for the majority of cancers, actually don't have a dedicated screening technique for them, though a few of them do, and these are well known to us. We, you know, for women, we do breast cancer screening with mammography. For certain individuals of beyond a certain age with a certain smoking history, we do lung cancer screening with low-dose chest CT, maybe colon cancer screening with colonoscopy. And, you know, this is a little controversial, but we do prostate cancer screening in men with a PSA. And cervical cancer screening in women with pap smear. But for all the other cancers, which are actually the vast majority of cancers, these are falling into a bucket that I would call like the screening ignored category. And this approach allows us to get that first glimpse that otherwise we have to wait till symptoms develop. And often that could be a later stage, which is harder to treat. So that's our approach. Taking advantage of MRI is non-invasive. There's no harmful byproducts from the modality. There's no radiation, and we don't have to inject the dye. So it's like another level of minimally invasiveness, and that's what we're doing.
So take me back. Why is prostate cancer, why is the screening controversial?
The prostate cancer is a controversial screening using the PSA as a marker because it's a very common type of cancer in men. It's almost so common that the older we get, it's almost inevitable that men will develop prostate cancer. And it tends to be a rather slow-growing cancer, such that for many, many men, even if they have prostate cancer, it doesn't mean that that's going to be the cause of their death. So it's controversial because you might screen for it and find an elevated PSA, which may or may not reflect cancer. And even if it does reflect cancer, is this a cancer that's quote unquote clinically significant and warranting intervention? And sometimes the treatment could be causing more morbidity to that patient than benefit if they're not likely to die from that disease. Actually, that's why outside the Prenuvo context, but in the like the sort of like the modern sort of approach to prostate cancer screening. So usually MRIs now, I would say the kind of standard of care approach. So even if there's an elevated PSA, the next step would often be to go to MRI, to get a prostate MRI to localize and assess for what we call clinically significant prostate cancer. That would then be more targetable for biopsy and then guide the next step management decisions. We include prostate MRI as part of our protocol. Now I say we include that it's a slightly modified version because we're using no IV contrast, but we do include the dedicated basic sequences, which are small field of view, what I call T2 weighted imaging. It's a little bit technical, so I can happily answer more questions about it, but to, you know, just to be simple about it, small field of view imaging centered around the prostate and of T2 weighted and also of diffusion weighted imaging, which I can explain more what diffusion weighted imaging means. And in our case, so we can screen for prostate cancer as well. I usually like to assess that in combination with a PSA, and that gives me a higher level of sort of ability to risk stratify findings that I see in the prostate.
Interesting, because prostate cancer is extremely high in firefighters, right?
Yeah, I was reading about that. It seems like there's a 28% higher risk of prostate cancer in firefighters. The 1 in 4, yeah, so that mm-hmm. 1 in 4, you're saying 1 in 4firefighters are getting prostate cancer?
Yes.
That's rather high. I don't know if that's at a younger age than the average population, but definitely warrants, in my mind, a higher level of surveillance to monitor for it. You know, when we detect cancer, this is somewhat of a controversy in the medical world, like screening, like how do you handle findings that we encounter in terms of, again, I'm going to put in quotes, overdiagnosis or false positives. So prostate cancer is a good example because when you couple it with the modern capabilities in medicine and advanced imaging or other advanced diagnostics, and then just the interventional approaches that we have to deal with it, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago or so, the only option was to take out the whole prostate as soon as you had prostate cancer. But now we can sort of tailor the options to a patient's specific context as well, and there's less invasive options. So even if it's, let's say, a low-grade prostate cancer in somebody, does that mean we have to take out the whole prostate? No, not necessarily. These days we can monitor with different modalities, whether it's with imaging or with PSA and trend it, or we can even do, if it's a locally confined prostate lesion, a more minimally invasive treatment that could be like a focal ablation or something like that that allows us to both get rid of the cancer, but also not cause morbidity related to the intervention itself.
Okay. So tell us kind of specifically what brought you into the kind of firefighter realm, I guess. I've seen a ton of ads for Prenuvo specifically targeted to firefighters. And so talk to us a little bit about Prenuvo can help firefighters kind of around the country.
I think one of the things you mentioned is that, you know, firefighters, being that they're in this category of a higher risk population, all the environmental hazards and exposures firefighters are exposed to, all these elements cause things to the body and the genetic mutations that when you add them up over time and increasing exposures, they tend to increase the risk of developing cancer in the long run. So the more exposures you have, and firefighters have more than the average individual, I'm not surprised that they're at elevated risk for cancer. So part of what we're trying to do is, you know, in a sort of more individualized fashion, patient individualized fashion, offer an opportunity to individuals that feel that they're at higher risk, an opportunity to get ahead of the curve and screen for disease processes that sort of the state of the art of medicine has not yet necessarily reached to give a custom recommendation or screening protocol to accommodate their elevated risk. So again, because this modality doesn't have those side effects of ionizing radiation, which is not the same as some of the other imaging modalities like CT or PET scan, I wouldn't want to recommend CT or PET scan in a screening context because That itself is ionizing radiation, another hazard that we can expose you too much to. And then that itself can lead to cancer down the line 20, 30 years from now. So I don't want to over-image anybody with those other modalities. But with MRI, because it's such a benign, physiologically benign modality, theoretically I can image somebody as frequently as they might deem relevant and I would deem relevant without causing harm to the patient. Obviously, there's resource considerations and economic considerations, but just the modality itself is sort of, you know, if MRIs were free and grew on trees, I can't really understand the argument for not having routine imaging of ourselves if we wanted to. I mean, I think it's a useful opportunity. So firefighters are an example, other first responders we're working with as well. I think this is the reason. And it goes back to sort of that screening ignored category. So cancers that are screening ignored, there's so many that are not actively looked for. And then populations that may be at risk for those cancers, but are also not actively monitored. So, you know, for any of these cancers that are screened, if you don't fall into the recommended demographics of a certain age group or risk factor status, then you're also not going to be screened for, whether it's prostate cancer or colon cancer or, you know, breast cancer or lung cancer. You might be the exception to the rule that that person develops a cancer that doesn't fit the demographics. It might not be common, but it may be more common in certain populations. We don't have all the data to say like what the optimal screening protocol for every individual person or demographic is, but this approach being sort of a single procedure that's very high yield in 1 hour on our scanning table, which we try to make as comfortable and convenient to the patient as possible. The idea is this is a very high yield single pass that lets us both screen for individual areas of abnormality, but then track them over time with the same procedure as well. So as opposed to other techniques that, you know, let's say you went for, you know, this concept of incidental findings in radiology is a known problem or a known challenge, I would say, because historically you needed a different modality or a different specific test to kind of follow every individual lesion. But in this approach, let's say we have scattered low risk abnormalities. I don't think they're necessarily cancer today. I don't want to work all of them up. I just want to say, let me see you again in a year and see how things change. There's a finding in your brain. There's a finding in your lungs. There's a finding in your liver. There's a finding in your prostate. All these things historically might require a separate test. But here I could say, let me just see you back in 1 year. We'll check up on everything at once. I don't think these are cancer. I don't think these are clinically concerning. But just to double check, when I check everything else, we'll make sure that these findings are stable and unchanged. Most of the time, because it's MRI and what we call multiparametric, I could do a pretty good job of bucketing types of, again, putting in quotes, lesions into these categories of very low risk or benign, or at the other end of the spectrum, very high risk or malignant, whether it's cancer or even something else like an aneurysm. It's not cancer, but concerning for another, you know, indication. So we do this initial job of stratifying the findings at baseline, and then we track them over time. Obviously, if I see something that I'm like very concerned that this is cancer, we're going to recommend you act on it right away. For the vast majority of findings in an average risk patient, this could be routinely followed with the single high yield whole body surveillance that we do.
So it's really a safe way to get a baseline into your entire body.
Basically, to get a baseline into your entire body that you can then use as a reference for tracking future changes. So I do want to caution, you know, it's not intended to replace any of those gold standard first line screening techniques. So if you're a woman and you need to go for breast cancer screening with dedicated breast imaging, whether it's mammography or breast MRI or breast ultrasound or a combination of those three, this technique, while we image the breasts, it's not the same as a breast teleprotocol. So I would call it like an adjunct, like something in addition that you could do, but not to replace those first line techniques. Same goes for colon cancer screening with colonoscopy. And same goes for, I'm assuming maybe, you know, firefighters, because of all the smoke that they inhale. I don't know if there's like a functional equivalent between smoking pack years of cigarettes and exposures to fire. I don't know about that. I do know that we have recommendations for smokers to undergo lung cancer screening. But let's say you're a smoker, I wouldn't recommend you do just the Prenuvo scan instead of the low-dose chest CT that's evidence-based and grounded, but it's a nice adjunct for those people. And then for the people that don't have the recommended first-line screening, something that you can do just in case. So yeah, just like you said, it's a very high-yield baseline that then we use as part of a routine preventative healthcare process. So just like you would go for an annual checkup or biannual checkup with our doctor, the idea is this becomes part of that approach, just like a physical exam, do physical checkup, run some labs. Now we do an imaging-based examination as well and have a chance to be alerted to early concerns.
Yeah. So let's back up a little bit. Tell us exactly, like, where did Pronuvo come from? How long has it been around? Because you're nationwide now, right?
We're in about, I think, nine states right now. So not like exactly nationwide, but our geographic footprint is growing and we are spanning coast to coast. So we have, I'm based in California. We have two clinics in California, Bay Area, so where I am in Redwood City, and then in Los Angeles, and then on the East Coast in New York City and in Maryland, and then in between several places. So we basically started as a single clinic originally in Vancouver by our founding radiologist, Raja Tariwala, who was one of the pioneers both in the technical aspects of doing whole body MRI, which is its own technical achievement, I would say. You can't really effectively do whole body MRI on any MRI whatsoever. You kind of have a very carefully planned out MRI system and hardware to accommodate it. So yeah, it's all vendor, you know, off the shelf sort of equipment, but to do it, it has to be configured in such a way that you can do it appropriately. So he was one of the pioneers in developing the technique, especially with whole body diffusion, and started doing this as a practice on his own and started getting patients coming to him from essentially, that was in Vancouver, Canada, from all around Canada, as I understand, and even internationally. And then at some point, one of those patients was our CEO at Pronuvo now and said, you know, let's turn this into a company, basically. And so that turned into what Pronuvo is now. And in the last, you know, I don't know exactly how many years, maybe 3 years or so, we've started opening up clinics all across the US. And that's what we are.
That's awesome. And so is the screening something that is a referral based, or can just the average Joe walk in and pay for their own screening?
So it's sort of a combination. In the end, every patient does need sort of a healthcare practitioner's order to get the scan. Many of our patients are referred by their own doctor, but some are essentially, you know, they seek us out themselves. And if they don't have their own doctor to order the scan, then we connect them with some nurse practitioners that we closely work with that they can evaluate them as an appropriate patient for the scan. And then they'll place the order and we'll go through the process from that. When I say evaluate them as an appropriate candidate for the scan, what I mean is we're very focused on being screening and as opposed to something in a diagnostic context. And that may be a relatively nuanced distinction. So if somebody has like a diagnostic concern already, like they're already symptomatic, let's say they have, abdominal pain, this technique, while we can image and maybe tell some things, some give you some clues about what's going on compared to other options that may be more specifically tailored to answering those specific diagnostic questions, I'd recommend that they not come to us because they already have a diagnostic problem that can be better assessed with a dedicated technique. So that's what we try to pre-screen the patients as well, make sure they're appropriate for undergoing true screening. And that's where Pronuvo really excels.
So, I mean, this would be great if we could just get it into every single fire department and it just like magically is like a baseline for everybody. But I know that's sounds pretty far off. How can we encourage departments to, I don't know, use the right word or get their doctors to maybe take it more seriously?
You know, I'm not totally versed in what all the departments are actively doing. I do know we have a few departments or stations, individual stations that we are working with that are sort of have developed a program internally to connect their firefighters with us, and we are honored to screen those individuals. I don't know what other stations are doing that we don't already work with. I am aware that some are actively seeking out health screening process programs, whether it's with another imaging approach or with something like what we do with whole body MRI. I don't know if that's a universal thing or something that only, you know, limited to individual stations that have sort of the leaders of those stations are taking the initiative to do that. Maybe you can actually inform me a bit on that. I'm happy to shed some of my perspective if you know what's going on.
No, we know that there's nothing going on. No.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know.
It's not entirely true. There's some going on.
I would say, so again, we talked about MRI being like a uniquely attractive modality in imaging for screening because of the lack of ionizing radiation primarily. And then also the additional ability that we can get away from injecting a dye. So one more level of non-invasiveness. So I wouldn't recommend like CT-based modalities or a PET-based modality at all because of the ionizing radiation. Another modality that I have heard that some firefighter stations are kind of going towards is ultrasound for screening. I'm not really aware what it means to do like a whole body ultrasound, but I had heard this term before. I would expect that ultrasound is going to be significantly less sensitive and specific to various types of pathology that we would be screening for. I do want to clarify at this time, the Pronuvo scan or whole body screening is still an out-of-pocket procedure. It's not routinely covered by insurance, so that is something to be aware of. In the long run, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to generate enough data and supportive evidence to say that this has general utility with better outcomes for the general population than, you know, not doing this whole body screening. But we don't have that yet. So right now it's not covered by insurance. It's not standard of care. It's something beyond the standard of care. But I do think in certain populations that are seeking out additional higher level screening because of being high risk, it's something worth considering. And at Pronuvo, we do have that special interest in collaborating with, you know, first responder groups and firefighters in particular. And we have sort of a programs in place that can help set up special programs to make it more economical, relatively speaking. We do have three different versions of our scan that cover slightly different amounts of anatomy. So there's the most comprehensive, which is what I was talking about till now, which is top of the head to the ankles, called the whole body protocol. We can abbreviate that a little bit. It becomes, you know, it's proportionally less expensive. So then what we call the head torso goes from top of the head to basically the pelvis or high upper thighs. And then there's a more abbreviated version, which is just the torso, which does not include the head and neck, but just covers the chest, abdomen, and pelvis. Depending on what someone's, you know, interest is, how in-depth of the screen they want to do, these are different versions of essentially the same protocol, just extending to different amounts of anatomy. They take up more or less time on the scanner. The whole body exam is basically 60 minutes on the scan table, give or take, a little under usually. And then the others are shorter than that. I forget exactly what the time lengths of those ones are, but shorter.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, hopefully we can get Pronuvo in the hands of more first responders in the future, because it sounds pretty cool. I've been looking into it myself, but okay. Do you want to do hot seat or do you want to skip?
I mean, we can do a few questions.
I'm good for a couple more minutes.
Then we'll just do two questions, the most important ones. Okay, so hot seat is just a series of questions that we ask to get to know our guests on a more personal level. So here goes. Do you prefer coffee or tea?
I think lately I like tea better than coffee, but I wax and wane. Depends on my mood. Right now I'm drinking cold coffee, so that's not a great example.
Mom life, I drink cold coffee all the time. Okay. And if you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Well, in my before I was a doctor, in my sort of like my undergraduate days, pre-medicine days, I was an aspiring philosopher, I would say. I was a philosophy major and was going to go into academic philosophy. So some of my probably dream dinner companions might be some of my favorite philosophers. So like Ludwig Wittgenstein, this is a famous philosopher of the early 20th century. Maybe Albert Einstein, and probably Socrates, who's one of the ancient Greek philosophers.
Oh, we love Socrates. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Selfie, for taking the time to talk with us about cancer and how Pronuvo is helping detect and prevent it early, which is awesome because we all need to be a little bit more proactive rather than reactive when it comes to our health. So for listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Pronuvo, you can visit the website, pronuvo.com. They're also on Instagram.
Yeah, I think we have, don't quote me on this. We're on all kinds of social media, whether it's Instagram or I guess X, which is formerly known as Twitter.
Yes.
If I'm using the terms correctly. but yeah, all kinds of social media for sure.
Awesome. All right. Any final thoughts?
Sorry for me. No final thoughts. No, thank you very much for having me. And it was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Find us on social media at Dear Chiefs Podcast and online at DearChiefs.com. Tune in weekly for the 25,000-foot view of loving a first responder. Audra and Chelsea. over and out.